I have to mention, I got this mailer here, Ruby.
Let's see.
It's called Latinas United. Now, I don't know who Latina, you know, and there's all kinds of things going on. I'm getting all this things and who's mean and who's not mean and all this and that. And I don't know who's doing all this. And I don't know this group either. But it said Latinas United.
That so, doesn't look like a Latino.
Yeah, so normally you would think that. This is a beautiful thing. This says it is an organization focused on Latino advancement and representation. So Latinas United, your organization is an organization, and I'm reading right here, Houston, focused on Latino advancement and representation. Well, look at that, who they're endorsing for mayor. Now, does that look like a Latino or a Latina or someone that's going to promote the Latino-Latina advancement? Well, gee, that looks like Senator John Whitmire to me. Yeah. Now, I don't know this group, and maybe they don't like me. But, you know, you have Robert Gallegos, mm-hmm. who's a good man and been on council for, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
They didn't endorse him.
Wow.
And he's been a neighborhood leader, and he's been all over the community. Now, Julian Martinez, I don't really know him.
Right.
But they didn't endorse Julian Martinez.
No.
So I don't know. It reminds me of the Tejano Democrats. Now that's oxymoron if there's ever been one.
Right.
Tejano and Democrats. And of course, I've been a member off and on for, I don't know, 20 years probably. And of course, Ruby, they are all about endorsing Tejano Democrats.
Right.
The name of the group.
Exactly.
And Tejanos, of course, means sort of multi-generational Hispanics that have lived here. You know, they're American Latinos, right?
Right.
And I screened with them, which means they interviewed me to talk about who they're going to endorse for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And the screening committee was recommending to endorse me.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Well,
but here's
meet the definition.
Well, that's it. But here's the Paul Harvey rest of the story. So we show up on the meeting, and lo and behold, right there, right before the meeting, comes in like 50 people. And
that's
they bought their membership right then and there.
Because they're interested in
Interested in Tejano Democrats.
Okay.
Yeah. So they say. Well, really what they were there was essentially – the senator bought the endorsement.
Oh, that's terrible.
Just like that. 50 people came in. And, of course, I'm outvoted. Sheila Jackson Lee's outvoted. Robert Gallegos is outvoted, even though he and I are the only Tejano Democrats. Actually, you know what? Did I tell you? Robert Gallegos voted for me.
Oh, how?
You know what? What a gentleman. And I don't think that means he doesn't want to be mayor because he's worked real hard. I think surveying the landscape, he saw that I had a lot of support and he saw that I had the endorsement of the committee. But no, 50 people bought right then and there a membership.
Wow.
So Tejano Democrats looks like that on their endorsement. Well, there was another one I got, and I think it was called Tejano Pack, Texas
that's right.
Pack or
yeah.
something like
mm-hmm.
that. And it also, I got to get that card.
Yeah,
I'm going to get
that
card, Houston, because I want to get it right. And it said something, their mission is to endorse Donald candidate. Well, guess who that PAC endorsed for mayor?
I wonder.
Senator John Whitmire. And you know what? The senator has been a senator for 50 years. I understand that. But if your organization is about Hispanics,
right,
and if you have the name Latino in it, and if you have the name Tejano in it, shouldn't you be like trying to advance Tejanos or Latinos? What am I missing?
I know.
Very grateful that you're starting to adopt. What am I missing?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm missing, but I'm missing something. So, you know, I'm going to get all these because, you know, I may just mention it every episode for the next 5 years that I'm going to have this radio show because I just want people to know. Inquiring minds like mine want to know. Well, do we have the Cambrell clip ready, producer?
Very grateful that you're starting to adopt all of my pledge. I'm happy to have you sign it.
I think we're going to go.
You will adopt one more item.
Stop that
which
one.
Which is, will you commit?
Hold on.
that you will not.
Okay, we're going to come back to the Cambrell board, and we're going to come back to all these clips as my producers getting organized. The other thing I wanted to mention, Ruby, is Mr. Charles Blaine.
Would you pledge that, sir?
Wrote a piece. Charles Blaine is a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He's on one of these morning shows, and I don't know his background or anything, but he's got a blog, and I consider him to be a pretty serious blogger. You know, there are certain bloggers that just blog, and there are certain bloggers that really, like Kuffner's another one, right. Charles Kuffner. They're serious about their blogging. They blog regularly, and so they want you to know about what they want to say. Well, Charles Blaine, now, I appreciate him doing this. It's dated November 2nd. Well, I kind of want to say, you know, where were you all this time? Right. But I don't want to say that because it takes courage to write this stuff. And he wrote it. So the headline says, Houston on a fiscal cliff, years of budgetary folly. Now, would you Google the word folly for me? What does that mean, budgetary folly? But years of budgetary folly leave the Bayou City facing steep budget gaps and debt liabilities.
The definition folly? It says lack of good sense, foolishness.
So why don't we just say years? Because, you know, I'm just a regular folk. Years of budgetary foolishness and lack of good sense leaves the city of Houston facing steep budget gaps. So he goes on to write that, you know, Houston's a big city like others. It talked about kind of the stuff with COVID. And then it says that when the mayor took office 8 years ago, he was facing a $160 million deficit and pension liabilities of $7.7 billion. Okay. And then he mentions that the mayor said that instead of starting with $160 million in the hole, like he claims he did, that the next mayor is going to inherit a surplus of $420 million. Well, Charles says that is true only on paper because the federal money that we've been getting because of COVID is running out and the sales tax revenue is declining. So the structural imbalance, which means permanent imbalance, is facing a steep fiscal cliff. So he did acknowledge, the mayor, in the $6.2 billion budget that there's $160 million of federal monies that are going to close the gap. He says, but any gap, I'm quoting his quote, that may exist in fiscal year 2025 can be fully covered by the funding balance, placing the city in a good fiscal position. How in the world can he say that? When number one, the numbers are much bigger. Mm-hmm. Number two, we have been neglecting all our services from right. water, drainage, roads, trash pickup, streets, roads, yeah. and we haven't even reached an agreement with the firefighters, right. which could be several hundred million dollars. Mm-hmm. How can he say that with a straight face? I can't even say it, and right. I'd not have anything to do with it. But it just says, just weeks after the mayor's budget announcement, his budget director told the city council that starting in fiscal year 2026, there'll be a gap of between 112 and 181 million that will grow to between 109 and 244 million more. But it gets worse. Ugh. He quotes the Greater Houston Partnership, which is, again, right. the story I wrote here. And he says here that they released a report on the city's finances that confirms what people have been saying for years. That's, quote, that's a code for Gilbert Garcia. Mm. Because I've been saying it for years, yes. and I'm very happy to report that some of my colleagues, MJ Khan, has been saying it, certainly since the beginning of the election. Jack Christie's been saying it, mm-hmm. certainly since the beginning of the election. But for him, he may have been saying it from the dawn of time because he's been on council a long,
right.
long, long, long time ago. And, you know, I always give credit where credit is due. And so I'm giving credit where credit is due. So here he goes. In addition to the ongoing structural imbalance, Houston is facing significant liabilities. Here they are, Houston. $3 billion for deferred maintenance on roads. $3
billion. Wow.
Okay. Plus another $594 million in deferred facilities maintenance. $1.14 billion to rehabilitate the city's water purification plant, $2 billion to comply with a federal environmental consent decree, and an estimate of $600 million for the firefighters. So let me just do the math there. That's a lot of gazenta. You know, like two people say, what's gazenta? That's what they call easy math.
Yes.
Which means two gazenta four, two times. So that's right. Sometimes I got to get my gazentas right. So there's $3 billion there plus $600 million. I'm rounded to $600 million. 3.6 plus another two. That's 5.6 plus another six. That's 6.2 plus another 1.1. That's 7.3 billion. That's more than the entire budget of the city. So, and then he goes on to say that the city controller, where's that guy been, by the way?
I don't know.
You know, he kind of pops his head up every now and then and says a bunch of stuff, and then he goes and hides. But thank goodness he's saying things. An independently elected fiscal watchdog has been warning the city about long-term effects of structural imbalances. It says here, quote, the consequences of years of inaction and narrowing our structural deficit will force the next mayor to exhaust the fund balance anticipated to be smaller than our projected deficit. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but you know what it means? Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It means trouble. City officials have mostly ignored the city controller. I want to know what goes on city council. What are they doing? If all this goes on, and I don't remember any city council member outright voting no on the city budget. Maybe Kubosh did. I don't know for sure. You know, I'm going to check that. I need to fact check that. Because if you know all this, how can you continue to go along when you know you're creating a bigger problem down the road? So it says here, Houston mayoral and council candidates looking toward next week's elections have made costly policy promises. Now, I have not made any.
No, I know.
In fact, I think I've made people mad, especially, you know, bike lane people, and they get mad at me all the time. But the truth is, how can we be spending $1.5 million on a mile of bike lane when in reality there are still parts of the city with open ditches,
mm-hmm.
with stray dogs, areas that are dark and high crime? I mean, there's wants and then there's got to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not made any promises about anything. People are saying, I'm going to hire 100 police officers, 500 police officers. I have not said that at all.
That's right.
And I'm not promising when people want to do things. I forgot who was the other, you know, I love animals, animal care, and we need more money. We need more resources everywhere, mental health. But at the end of the day, we can't afford it.
No, we can't.
Houston, I'm just saying, that's why you got to vote.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not bragging, but at least I'm one that says, you know what? You got to vote. Make your Sally. I see Sally saying here, yes, vote, vota, or forever stay silent. And then don't be complaining about City of Houston issues. That's right. My mother always said, if you don't vote, don't complain. Right?
That's right.
Exactly right.
Yes.
So vote. Charlotte's saying, go vote. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm telling it like it is, Houston. You can vote for me, and you may not like what you're hearing, but at least you're going to hear the true skinny,
the true
word. Or you can go with the same old, and they're going to promise a bunch of stuff and patch a bunch of stuff up, and nothing's going to change, except the city's going to keep shrinking, and it's going to get worse. So let me go back. So some promises made, and I've heard some of my other colleagues make these promises. Hundreds of new police officers, faster response times, better trash pickup, more infrastructure maintenance, additional housing for the homeless, down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers. And then he wrote, all will become increasingly unachievable when the financial reality sets in. Well, you know what? It's fiscally, financially unachievable now.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you just can't. So continuing, he then references a lot of the candidates. You know, Jack Christie has said that he wants to implement immediate hiring freeze. You know what? And so have I.
Yes.
I think that's right. We both want to do zero-based budgeting, which means you got to justify everything. The Greater Houston Partnership talked about trying to get early retirement. That's not so easy,
mm-mm.
because then that's just a big expense that gets pushed to the retirement side and the pension fund side. And, you know, for the first time in a long time. We got to fact check this because I don't know for sure. But certainly for the last 10 years, the number of people who said that Houston is going in the wrong direction is now 53%, more than the majority.
Wow.
You know what? They're right.
Yes. I hope they're voting.
I hope they're voting. And there's only one guy that's been saying it.
Yeah.
That's me. I wonder, you know, if all those people say it and they vote for someone that's going to do the same old, same old. Well, then you know what? That makes no sense.
No.
And there's another one. 57% have considered moving in recent years. 57.
Interesting.
Yes. Huh. Yes. 57%. So Houston, going back, let's see if my producer's ready. Do we have the Cambrell Marshall interview? So Cambrell Marshall, of course, is a Houston treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to love him. Everyone loves him. I think everyone loves him. He's one of those guys that everybody loves. And he's got that show Newsmakers. But more importantly than that, he's been the weatherman. And more importantly than that, he's been the gala chair or the main person for so many charities all over Houston for decades.
Yes, he does great.
Yes. Great work. So here's Newsmakers. I was on Newsmakers. I taped it on Friday, and it aired, I think, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So let's see what Cambrell had to ask me, and let's see what I said. Let's go.
And welcome back to Houston Newsmakers, and welcome to Gilbert Garcia, managing partner of Garcia Hamilton Associates, former Metro Chair, candidate for Houston Mayor. How's your energy level after all this campaigning?
You know, I'm still ready to go. it's been fun, and the funner it is, the more energy you get from it, the more energy you get from the people, the forums, all the activity. So I'm excited. We're going to go all the way to 7 o'clock election day.
So what message that you've been given do you think has been most resonating with people you've been able to talk with?
The most resonating issue is, frankly, me listening to them. I know I'm flipping it a little bit because people want to talk and they want to tell you their concerns, their dreams, their hopes. They really want to be able to touch a candidate to say, I really hope you do this, this, and this. I think what's resonating from my story is really my business background, the fact that I have not run before, the fact that I have no conflicts of interest, and that I can restore some of the confidence in government again.
So we talked earlier with Lee Kaplan about the harsh reality of political polling sometimes. And the polls have come out and they haven't been friendly to you at this point in terms of what it looked like from early on and now 5% or so around that time period. Do you look at that? Do you pay attention to that? Do you say, okay, that's what it is. I'm moving forward. I don't care.
Well, no, of course we look at it, and we do. And we've done our own polling, too. It's not quite the same, but I get where I'm at. At the end of the day, the only polling that matters is Election Day. And that's what matters. I am starting to peak, and I'm peaking at the right time, which is here come Election Day.
What do you think has happened between the last couple of months and now that have helped you feel that you're crescendo?
Sure. I think what's happened in the last 30 days has really been the undecideds are starting to pay attention, and the undecideds are starting to break, and they want something different than people who've been in office 50 years. They want something different, and they want to have confidence in someone that has no conflicts. And so that puts me in a very good position.
You've put a lot of your personal money in this campaign. Any regrets about the return on your investment? Or are you going to wait till Tuesday before you make that analysis?
No, I'll make the analysis right now. No regrets at all. This is our home. We love Houston. We view it as an investment in our home and in our neighborhood and our community. So I'm happy to do it. And frankly, I wish I had done more. But ultimately, we're very pleased with where we are. Because remember, I came from zero name ID. Zero. To now my name ID is in the 50%. And so it's worked. Will it be enough? We'll see Election Day.
So what's your biggest concern about the city's finances and the direction the city's headed now?
The biggest concern, well, let me flip that one too. I am so glad that the Greater Houston Partnership finally has acknowledged where we are financially, because there have been a lot of people that have been silent, and it's now no longer acceptable to be silent. We need to recognize where we are with financials. We need to recognize that that $400 million surplus or whatever they're calling it is really not there. It's a facade. We need to recognize that we still are balancing our budget through stimulus funds, that we still have not settled the firefighters, that we're still losing opportunities in the housing department, health department. And so in my view, I think that the best thing is the transparency and that it's all coming out and coming forward.
The leaked Jackson Lee tape got a lot of attention. Your thoughts on whether or not it can help your campaign, or does it really matter?
I don't think it matters that much. I think it was a a quick headline for some, both to the positive for some and maybe to the negative for others. But I think at the end of the day, the people who support her know her. Mm-hmm. The people who support Whitmire know him. And I think the undecideds are going to look for something different. And I think I'm going to be the beneficiary of a lot of that movement.
So let's forward now to Tuesday. This is Election Day. People are waking up. Geez, what am I going to do? Who am I going to vote for? What's your pitch to that voter who's trying to make up their mind? They really have. They're still in that undecided vote. What do you pitch to them
in terms of getting? It's real simple. If they want the same old, meaning the same people doing the same thing, getting the same contracts from the city, sort of at the margin movement, I'm not your candidate. Go to one of the career politicians. But if you're looking for someone that has no conflicts of interest, that has a financial background, and that's our number one problem, that has a pension background, that's another key issue, that knows transit inside and out, that's another key issue. And if you're looking for someone that's going to call the right shots and make the hard choices that doesn't owe anybody, I'm the right choice.
Gilbert, thank you. Thank you. Stay safe. Good luck on Election Day. Weather's going to be great, I'm told.
Well, Houston, no matter what, please, no matter who you support, please vote. Make your voice heard.
Thank you, Gilbert. Appreciate it.
Good luck. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Gilbert. Appreciate it.
All right. So hopefully you saw that in sync. You know, first of all, Ruby, I don't know. My head looks shiny.
maybe you needed to go into hair and makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need hair and makeup. My head, didn't my head look shiny? I don't know. And I don't know. I felt like I had
the beaming light.
Maybe it was the beaming light. And you know what? It also, I don't know. Did I have dents? I don't know. I mean, do I have dents in my head? I gotta look at that again. But at the end of the day,
I was thinking very hard.
Don't leave yet, Houston, because I want to show y'all this very interesting exchange between me and the senator. He just can't answer the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, reasonable people can agree or reasonable people can disagree.
Correct.
And years ago, Mayor Lanier took permanently one quarter of the revenue stream for Metro Forever.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you could argue that was a good thing, it was a bad thing. But one consequence was, when people say, how come we don't have underground transit? How come we don't go to the airport? How come? Well, that's why.
That's right.
We don't have one quarter of the money that Metro was supposed to have. And it was meant to be, again, matched with federal funds. The amount of money that has not gone to Metro is almost $4 billion. And when you look at all the matching funds and everything else, you're talking about essentially almost $15 to $20 billion of spending on transit that we didn't have.
That's terrible.
So when people say, well, golly, you know, well, that's why.
Yes.
So he wants to use more Metro money. And, you know, we're going to talk about that because I want to show two more clips. But first, we have a question. Let's get this caller. Ernie, is that you? Ernie.
Good morning.
Ernie, is that you?
Is this Mr. Garcia for mayor?
This is me in the flesh.
Oh, right.
With a shiny head and all.
Incredible interview. Incredible. You said exactly what the city needed to hear. One
moment, JC. Thank you so much. I mean, look. You know, it's one of those things where energy feeds off energy, and Cambrell's got positive energy and positive eye, and I can't help but to have it when he's got it. And then it's just, you know, it just goes. And he's such
and
a great guy.
Those pointed questions he asked that were right, so relevant. You were able to really spin the right message to all the people, what they want to hear, which is we need to do the right thing.
Yeah, and that's right. And I'm going to say what is. And if I don't have an answer, I'm not going to make up a bunch of gobbledygook, which I'll show you in a moment. I'm just going to say, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Or I'm going to say, you know, I haven't thought about that. Mm-hmm. Someone sent me a question about, I won't be able to repeat it, Ruby, because I don't remember. But it was a very detailed question about some plant or something, incinerator, mm-hmm. something. And frankly, I don't know the issue.
Right.
And I said, you know, I don't know the issue really, but I'm happy to read about it and then tell you. But ultimately, you just got to say what you got to say. And with Metro, I could tell you right now, I would not take money away from Metro when Metro so desperately needs its money that the voters have voted for additional transit. In fact, do you know that we seem to have Metro referendums all the time?
Yes.
You know, we had the one that started it in 03. And then, of course, we had mine in like 2012. And we won with almost 80% of the vote. And we had this last one with almost 70% of the vote. My goodness, stop beating on Metro, Bill King. At the end of the day, people have already spoken. And your poll of, he had like, I don't know, 500 people in his blog. You've got thousands and hundreds of thousands of voters. That's the poll that matters, that said what they want. So let's embrace Metro. And I know Metro's not perfect, but at the end of the day, nothing is. And he's bringing up things that go back to 2008 or 9. We already know, because when I came into 2010, we already know that previous board had done a lot of things, bad choices. We know that already. And, you know, we let's move on and embrace the new Metro. And we know they violated their procurement rules, but the FTA made sure we improved it. So, you know, let's move on, because at the end of the day, we need a strong Metro. And when people say, oh, Metro, look, how many people have ever been to the rodeo? You cannot go to the rodeo. The traffic doesn't even move on 610. If it weren't for Metro, how many have been to the Final Four or the, remember they had the Final Four in the NBA thing in the George R. Brown? You can't move when people are going to things. The Super Bowl, the all these big World Cup.
Just
you can't
to
do
the
those things. The Met, you know, one third of the people who work at the Med Center, one third of the people who work downtown take a Metro service.
That's right.
So stop already and let's focus on what really matters, which is some of the mismanagement of the city right now and all the needs of the city right now. So, Ernie, talk to you. I didn't mean to take your time there, Ernie.
No, you're hitting it on the head. Metro is a perfect example of how you took a budget and balanced it. People in this city need to know you are the numbers guy. You are the guy that can get in there with a business mind and do the right thing. We don't need someone who knows how to push paper. We don't need someone who's been in office so long that they don't even know anyone's name. We need someone who wants to know people, who wants to do the same and get the numbers right. You'll balance the budget of the city of Houston, and you won't take money from another department to do it. A perfect example is your company. You are a philanthropic leader in this city. People don't know that your company has given over $2 million in philanthropy.
Actually, it's $4 million, but who's counting?
Right, $4 million.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, you will get into that office and ensure that other companies follow suit in the philanthropic effort, because the city of Houston benefits from people who benefit the city, and the companies have an obligation. For example, look, we have the number one children's museum in the country. And why? Because Gilbert Garcia, Hamilton and Associates, gives to the museum in a big way. You sponsor Dia de los Muertes. You help sponsor Hispanic Heritage Month. And you had those beautiful children over the weekend all ready to have a wonderful time at the theater. And you were there. You were there. You weren't out campaigning. You were there for the people, with the people, advising them that you believe in the Children's Museum. So what better leader can we have than someone who walks the walk and talks the talk?
Thank
you. Let's do this, Gilbert Garcia. Let's get you in office, because you deserve to be there. We deserve to have a man with leadership of your skills.
Damn,
thank you so much.
Listen to Ernie. You know what? I want to take the hill. Go take that hill. I'm taking it. I'm going to go take
that
hill right now.
We're all there with you, Gilbert.
Way to go, Ernie. Thank you, Ernie, for calling in, and thank you for sharing such strong, strong sentiments. And, you know, it feels wonderful to hear such a thing.
Yes.
We're going to go to our next caller. Is there a JC on the line? JC. Did we lose JC? Doggone. JC, please call back.
Hello, JC? Yeah, one more.
Oh, here we go. JC, are you there? JC.
You hear me, Gilbert?
JC, speak to me, lady. What do you got? Is this
you know what? You're not playing games with me this morning.
is this the JC, the one and only?
The one and only.
Oh my
victory,
God.
Victory International Church. You know what? I think I went to bed thinking about you.
Oh my God!
Oh yes, how you? You know what? You didn't even have to say anything. You're just just one of those kind of people that it doesn't take a whole lot of talk. You didn't come over there campaigning yesterday. You came over there worshiping. But you know, we enjoyed you and all the help and all the things that you've done down through the years. It didn't just start yesterday. So we enjoy you, and we know that you are going to be a great leader for the city.
Ooh.
Okay, and I just wanted to let you know how we just thank you. I want to thank you again for all the things that you've done for us at the VIC church and all. It wasn't no campaigning yesterday. That's the truth. And the lady that spoke 3 minutes ago, she summed it up. I don't need to go over that. She already summed it up. Okay.
Well, JC, let me ask you something. So let's pretend I'm mayor. What are the things that November 8th or when the mayor is finally elected, what are the things that you want that mayor to do for the community?
Just what the lady said previously, this Metro, I've been complaining about Metro ever since I've been in Houston. I've been in Houston for a bunch of years, but I've been complaining. I lived in a city before I came to Houston, and the transportation was super, super in the park I lived before. But in Houston, I had to almost way back in the day, it's still the same way. But we need an improvement on the Metro. We don't have any transportation and no good transportation. That's one of the main things. But it's a number of other things, but like they said previously, that Metro is been real sad. That's my whole talk. Houston has a bad, the transportation is terrible.
Yeah, we need more transit, not less transit.
Mm-hmm. More transit. And you know what? It's a shame that we're the fourth largest city in the world or the nation, whatever. And I wouldn't even want to tell nobody that if transportation is like it is.
I know.
That's why I think a lot of things don't happen in here that happen in other cities, like when they have conventions, how they have conventions at different cities like Chicago, Washington, places like that, different places. And you know what? That because of the transportation, I found out it was because of transportation. They can't go to these different meetings and stuff like
that. Right. That's right.
And you know, I think that's terrible. Big as Houston is, all these people here. And you know, and that's I've been complaining about that.
Well, you know, JC, people tell me when they come in from out of town, because they know that I was so involved with Metro when I was Metro chairman, they are shocked when they look at I-10.
Yes.
And they say, you mean to tell me that there's Katy and here's Houston and you guys can't put transit there, but yet you built concrete prairie of like, I don't know, how many lanes is that each way? It's like 10 lanes each way. It's like one massive, massive cement. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's full.
Yes.
It's full.
Yeah. Yeah.
The real lesson is to get the cars off the road, not create more ability for cars to fill the road.
Whoops, there it is.
That's right.
Whoops, there it is. That's right. Because you know what? If people wouldn't be fighting going on these drive, we wouldn't have all this old fighting, people mad and disgusted.
That's right.
The transportation. They get out mad because of the way the transportation system is. They really just disgusted. And I think it's terrible. I wish something be done about it. So with you in there.
I know one thing we shouldn't do. Don't take any more Metro money away. I just saw Leticia Letty. She had a comment about the environment. You know, Letty's someone that has been fighting for clean air in this city for years. Yeah. She's been part of the whole Air Alliance group, and they do such great work. And I really appreciate her because they're always asking the right questions of candidates to really make sure they know where they stand and to educate them on the things that we need to do. Well, JC, you are such a joy. What do you want to say to Houston in closing?
I just want I'm not telling people who to vote for, but I know that what you will do and what you can do and what you're going to do. And I just tell them that, you know, vote their conscience. But I know that you will be a great asset to the city of Houston. And That's it.
Amen.
Well, you know, and then I told you what happened to me, Gilbert. You laughed and you said, oh, praise the Lord. You know, when I got ready to, I'm not going to go all into details, okay? But when I got ready and I just said, oh, wow, you know. And then click, whoop, there it is. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, that's like a song. Whoop, there it is.
Whoop, there it is.
That's just like a song. Whoop, there it is.
You know, and I just appreciate you. That's all I can say. And really, I have been listening to you long before now on KWWJ. But I kind of really start paying attention to a lot of stuff. And that's why I'm talking like I'm talking. It just wasn't off the top of my head. Did nobody say, well, you go and do this for Gilbert, go do it. Did nobody have to tell me that? After listening to you all this time, I've listened to you. And that's just, like I say, I know that all is well.
But thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, and you're welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to mention something. I saw an email there from Christina. Christina, you are right. I'm going to get to the bottom of it because I don't know what's going on with these water bills.
I don't know,
but all I know is my water bill has gone up four times. It's gone up four times. In other words, it is now four times bigger now than what it was.
I thought I read something about that they're increasing the bills to be more reflective of an estimated.
There's something fishy going on. And when you have a city hall that has two people indicted in the city hall, when you have a city hall where the health department was raided by the FBI, the housing department, the director said it was a culture of corruption, he was fired, and the DA now investigated and raided them. When you have a city hall that did a procurement four times on this airport concession contract, I mean, you don't have any confidence in anything.
No.
So you know what? When I see that, I'm like, there's something, what's that saying? There's something fishy in Denmark.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who came up with that. And maybe there's a lot of fish in Denmark. I don't know. But at the end of the day, there's something fishy in Denmark because, and I bet you if we go into it, we're going to see a lot of people involved and some contracts and all kinds of things that I'm going to get to the bottom of, Houston. So just know that if I'm mayor, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And if I'm not mayor, I'm going to talk about it on the radio show and we're going to get more information. Oh, and by the way, I believe Metro is free if you go vote and show them where you vote. Alfred, thank you for telling me. It's free if you tell them, show them that you voted.
That you voted. That's right.
Let us go back to, I want to show an exchange because I've been very concerned about, concerned about this, Houston. Because the word is, again, there's all these secret deals and who knows what's real or not real. But the word is that, you know, the nemesis of Metro's Bill King. Of course, you know, that's all he writes about all the time. And so the senator is going to appoint him Metro chairman. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's, you know, anti-Metro. Houston has been. You could tell there's something going on because all his recent posts are all gearing up to take money away from Metro.
Mm-hmm.
So the word is that's what they're going to do. Take money from Metro and all this kind of stuff instead of fixing the problem. And I asked him. So let's just see what happened here on this exchange. Let's play that first one, producer.
I'm grateful that you're starting to adopt all of my pledge. I'm happy to have you sign it. I hope you will adopt one more item.
Now, I can't hear, but hopefully Houston can hear.
Will you commit that you will not appoint any member of the Metro board who would vote to take Metro resources to plug the city's financial hole? Would you pledge that, sir, that you will make sure every board member of Metro is in support of transit?
I'm running my campaign. Mobility is one of our highest priorities.
Houston,
Metro needs to be scrubbed. It needs to listen to our residents and go forward as we have a great city and have the mobility that we're looking for.
Yep. There's the answer.
Yep.
Now, what was that answer? I don't know. You can hear people laughing in the background. You know,
it
would be funny if it was like a Saturday Night Live skit. But the mere fact that it's true and we're all here, candidates for mayor, it's not funny.
No.
I don't know what that answer was. Other than, well, I mean, I don't even know.
No.
So then you would think you'd be prepared because then we have another clip where I asked him the same question again. Do we have that clip, producer? Now, this is a second debate that was just a couple days ago. And I, again, it's important to me. I just want, look, Houston can can vote or not vote on this issue or any other issue. I just want people to know
I'd like to ask
where the candidates stand.
Like
so go back to the beginning there. And let's make sure I can hear too.
The situation is going to be challenging. I'd like to ask the senator, like I've done before, do you agree that you will not take the general mobility money away from Metro to plug the hole of the budget for the city of Houston? Would you say that to the citizens of Houston? Can he answer?
Senator?
I'm sorry, Mr. Garcia, that you want to use this to politicize issues.
No, it's a simple question. The money is there.
I'm not going to play your game. I know your consultant has asked you to do what you're doing right now. That's the reason good people do not come into politics, because your consultant and other consultants that have said, attack Whitmire, attack Whitmire, attack Whitmire. You know that I support Metro. You know Metro has a bright future in the city, but it's going to have to be held accountable. It's going to have to listen to the residents. It can't use numbers from prior to COVID. It's got to do up-to-date regional mobility plans.
I don't know if that was a yes or a no.
So what's funny about that is it took him a while to even acknowledge anything, right? There's like there's a long pause, like a lot of crickets or something. And then the second thing is, I don't know what he said. Now, look, saying something like they got to be held accountable, everything's got to be held accountable. That's like saying, you know, I breathe oxygen. Mm-hmm. Did you know I breathe oxygen? I breathe oxygen. Everyone should be held accountable. Of course.
Right.
That goes without saying.
That's right.
The whole point, though, is are you going to take the general mobility money away from Metro to plug the city's hole? That's a simple yes or no. That's and you know, people can agree that that's a good thing or people can say that's a bad thing. And I'm sure there are people on both sides of saying that's good or that's bad. I just think people should know something that important. And I don't know what he means by my consultant said to attack with my time. I don't know what that means. I've been asking this question. The first time was like, I don't know, 2 months ago. And you know who my consultant is? Dee Dee Garcia. That's my wife. And I guess, you know, she's my consultant. She and my daughter, Juju Garcia. But at the end of the day, you know, I just think that people have a right to know where people stand on certain issues, like the Metro Mobility, like DPS. Mm-hmm. I don't support bringing DPS into the city. I have seen what happens there in Austin. Mm-hmm. I've seen what happens in the Valley. And maybe it's a Hispanic African-American thing because, you know, look, we teach our kids to when law enforcement is asking you questions, you don't move.
That's right.
And you don't raise your hands. You don't touch your pocket. We teach our kids that. We have to.
We have to.
I have been a victim of racial profiling as a Latino.
Yes.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, we don't need that. We need people who are trained. We don't need people who come in thinking they're weekend warriors, or we don't need people who are not aware of urban policing. That is not the answer. We don't, because that's like saying, well, then just bring the National Guard and just militarize the city. You know, my relatives live, my in-laws live in the Valley, and I've been to the Valley to see them. All you see is DPS everywhere. It's like an army, you know? I mean, it's DPS, but they're everywhere.
Right, right.
Everywhere. And it just, you know, it just doesn't give you a feel good.
Yeah, it brings fear
it does.
To our community.
It does. And so, and then, you know, look, if his idea is to do it, well, just say so. And then I asked him a question. I don't have that clip. I wish I did. And it said, how will you protect people of color, African-American Hispanics, that from being racially profiled if you bring them in?
Yes,
and of course, he's saying that that's politics. No, it's not. How are you going to prevent racial profiling? Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's all we want to know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. That seems to me to be a rational question. Let's get another. By the way, please vote. Jumpa Jess says, please vote. Please vote. Please vote. Please vote. No matter who you vote for. If you don't vote for Gilbert, that's fine. I just want you to vote. Make your voice heard. We got another caller there. Alejandro?
By the way, that number is 832-570-8075 that you can call in. And producer, I do want to play that last ad again. And of course, I do want to play both of them. We have another question there, though. Nothing? You had three on the board. What's the next one? Oh, we go. Here we go. Who do I have?
Alejandro.
Alejandro, are you there? Alejandro. Alejandro, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Isn't there a Lady Gaga song, Alejandro?
I think you're right.
Alejandro.
That's it.
Right? You know, is that right?
Funny. I don't think I've heard of that one before.
You don't know that song?
I think
no,
it's
I'm kidding. I've heard it several times.
Okay. So Alejandro, what do you got for us, pal, on a tip from Gilbert, talk inspiration and prayer?
Well, one thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I have a question following this. I'm a big fan of the Metro Rail. I take it to and from work. I take it to the Astros games. I take it to the University of Houston basketball and football games.
Hold on one second. Miss Betty Smith, thank you. She said she voted for me. We need him as our mayor. Miss Betty Smith, I'm hugging you in cyberspace. Go ahead, Alejandro.
So, you know, first of all, thank you again for your support for the Metro Rail. And but I have a question for you, which is, what is your favorite Houston sports team or top three, if you want to, in no specific order, if you want to kind of just hit me with that, just out of curiosity. I'm not saying this may or may not influence my vote. But
Well, I can tell you right now, Dynamos. I love going to Dynamo games. I mean it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I played soccer in high school. Club soccer, and of course I coached 40 seasons of soccer, and soccer is such a wonderful sport because you move more on a soccer field than any other place. The only place that might come close is tennis, in a long, you know, grand slam match. Nobody moves and runs as much as a soccer player. And so they are probably the best conditioned athletes in the world. And the amount of footwork and the amount of things they can do are just beautiful and amazing. And it is a question, and it is incredible team sport, because all it takes is one slippage, one getting away from your man, one little slippage of something out of position, and bam, it scores just like that. So you've got to be on your toes all the time. And they're, you know, and you just, I love soccer. After Dynamos, of course, come on. It's Astros. And everyone here at my office loves the Astros. And so those probably are the very far high two, one and two.
I know you're a Yelly, Gilbert, but here in Houston, we have the benefit of having so many schools here. So I would have to say that, you know, the University of Houston Cougars is probably
well.
You, one on top
the
two.
Cougars are great, but you know what I love? I love the TSU band.
That's right.
I love their band.
Yeah.
I don't know what their band's called, but man, they are just
Ocean of Soul.
Is that what it is?
Right?
All I know is they are so great.
They are.
Oh my God! And it's always the tuba players that are the coolest guys. Have you noticed the tuba players are so cool?
Yeah.
Because they dip down and they move it around, and it's the tuba players that just have all the personality. But no, they are wonderful. So Alejandro, hopefully I answered your question. What else do you got for me, pal?
That was pretty much it. I just wanted to hop on and say hi. And of course, for the rest of the city of Houston, vote Garcia for mayor. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I'm just going to say it. You know, freedom of speech.
You can say it, pal. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for calling in, Alejandro. I know we had, did we have a Janie on there?
Leticia Jackson, she wants to say thank you for the turkeys.
Oh, let's put her on. Leticia. Leticia, are you there?
Hello, Leticia? Hello, can you hear me? Hello.
How about Janie? Was there a Janie?
Hello, Mr. Capello. Glenn Capello.
Okay, Glenn. Is there a Glenn Capello there? Glenn, are you there, pal?
Glenn, yes, there is.
Glenn, what do you got, my man? What do you got for us on a tip from Gilbert? Talk inspiration and prayer.
Well, I can tell you, you're moving the needle in the nation. All my friends up in New York City and Wall Street, They keep on calling me and they're saying, who's this Gilbert Garcia? And you're putting Houston on the map, just like you said you would. You're going to make Houston one of the greatest cities in the world, and you're starting it. You're creating a real movement, you know, for the first time, not just Latinos, but all minorities, whether they're Korean, Vietnamese, Asian, Black, Hispanic, African, they're all standing up to support you. They understand that it's time for them to have a seat at the table, and you're the one person that has that capability of doing for them. So God bless you, Gilbert, for doing the work. Very hard to be a politician. You're giving up a lot. You have everything. You don't need to do this. You're doing it for your family, for your town, Houston, that you love. You've had the chance to go back to Wall Street. You've had the chance to go to Washington. You've had the chance to do anything you want. But you're staying here in town, and you're fighting for the common man. And that, my brother, is a godsend for all of us.
Golly, Glenn, thank you for saying that. That warms my heart. I really, really appreciate you, Glenn. And thank you for those kind words. And Houston, on Tuesday, I'm going to be having my watch event at Toque. Toque, T-O-Q-U-E. And that's right there on Post Oak. Is that where it's at, Ruby?
Yes, it is. Right behind the Maggiano's.
Right behind Maggiano's. And by the way, not to give a plug, but I'm going to give a plug. Toque, those people do great. That is a Christina over there?
Yes.
She's wonderful. That's what's called an event center, which means you kind of rent out the place. And then, you know, we're going to have heavy hors d'oeuvres, and we're going to have open beer and open wine. And it's going to be great. It's going to start at 7. You need to RSVP to 346-316-6051. I'll read it again. 346-316-6051. And that way we can have a head count and everything else. They have plenty of parking because it's like a big open parking lot. So I hope people make it. Election Day, you got to remember, people died for our mm-hmm. right to vote. People were beaten up. People had dogs biting on them. You got to go back in time. Women didn't have the right to vote for a long time. So we've got to cherish this right. And it's our right, but we need to cherish it. And the best way to cherish it is to participate.
That's right.
And the best way to participate is vote.
Especially the young folks.
Yes.
I think it's important for them to get involved. This is going to be their city.
Yes.
They need to take charge of it. And I hope that they see that, recognize the importance of it, and they go out tomorrow and vote.
So I think that what that means, too, is you brought something to me just now, which is if you vote, parents, golly, take your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see what it's all about. Because to them, either it's mysterious or it's like unimportant. But if they see you taking the time, if they see how serious those poll workers are taking the time, if they see all the attention, they look at a ballot, that'll stay with them the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So well, please
I'm proud
do that.
As a parent, because I did that, Gilbert, all along as my kids were younger, the importance of voting. So I'm proud to say that my kiddos came back from College Station early to early vote on Friday. So,
It's probably because you ingrained in them
exactly.
the importance
yeah.
of voting. Because
mm-hmm.
who would come from A&M to come early vote?
That's right.
Other than people who think it's important and
right.
that's their duty.
Because their vote counts.
Oh,
yes.
My God. How beautiful. I want to play the commercial, but I want to let everyone know, I think next week, now we're going to talk a little bit, of course, about post-election next week. But I want to get back to a little bit of the inspiring stuff. And either the next week or the next week, I'm going to have a young lady. I won't say her name right now just because I want to get her permission. She's going to be on my show. And she's 21, 22. She's beautiful. And she's wonderful. And she's an angel. And let me tell you where I'm going, Houston. She had one of those, young teen romances. And her boyfriend shot her in the chest.
Oh.
Yes. And she's been through multiple surgeries, all of those things. And he is in jail. Are you ready for this? He's up for parole.
Oh, my God.
How can that be? I want her on the show. And what's interesting is she's not bitter or angry. I think I would be so bitter. I'd be angry. I'd be angry at, I don't know, society, the Lord, everybody. Mm-hmm. She's just an angel. And
wow.
There's something about her. she's really been touched by the hand of God somehow. Mm-hmm. So she's going to hopefully be on my show next week. So be ready for that. Let's play the commercial. Let's tee up that commercial because I think we're running out of time. I know we've got about four callers there. I don't think we're going to get to you. I apologize. But let's get the commercial in real quick. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
And then go ahead and put the other ad.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.
So before we sign off, Houston, you know, Ruby, I want to let everyone know, because I'm still on radio here another minute or so, and that is people are cynical. And I understand why they're cynical about politics. I mean, that's why I'm running, frankly, because right. I'm cynical, but I don't want to just sit on the sidelines and complain. And here's where I'm going. People say, oh, you just did this radio show because you're running for mayor. No, I started it 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And you know what? I'm letting you know right now, Houston, I'm going to keep going. No matter what happens on Tuesday, whether I'm in the runoff or not, no matter what happens in the runoff, which, of course, is in December, I'm going to keep this show. And as long as I have breath and the stations will have me, I'm going to be here. So this gives me a time to say something, which is I want to thank KWWJ for partnering with me. I want to thank KYOK for partnering with me. I want to thank KCOH for partnering with me, Aliento Radio for partnering with me, and San Geet Radio, because they have been with me from the beginning. And I'm very grateful that they believed in me and offered me this time, and they were willing to coordinate all the time so I could do it all in one simulcast. That's not easy to do. And I want to thank my producers, Daisy and Mauricio Marin, because, you know, they've been with me from the beginning. Without them, there could be no A Tip from Gilbert. And I want to thank my hostess with the mostest. Is that the right word? Hostess with the mostest. My own Ed McMahon, Ruby Dang, who's there to keep me going and on track.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Gilbert. And you're right. We've been doing this for over 2 years. We've talked about a lot of interesting topics, and we're going to continue because there's so much to say.
So much to say. So, Houston, I think that's it. We'll see you next time.
This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.